The Trump administration has been pulling at the Gordian knot of federal employment. That is, what is the right pay for federal jobs? The Federal Salary Council has agreed to review the way it arrives at recommendations for raises, locality pay, and that ageless question of federal versus private sector pay. My next guest advises caution. Bob Tobias is a professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University and a longtime watcher of federal pay trends, and he joins me now in studio. And Bob, you point out this whole question actually goes back to at least 1970.
Yes, in 1970, Congress mandated the Bureau of Labor Statistics to actually compare public sector, federal employed public sector jobs with private sector jobs in order to find out whether or not they were being paid at a comparable level. So every year from 1970 to 1990, the data was collected, but there was no obligation to use it.
Kind of like the dentist that says, raise your hand when it hurts while I'm drilling. And he says, thanks for the information, and keeps on drilling.
Exactly.
And then in 1990, there was an act with a little bit more teeth.
Well, in 1990, Congress recognized the fact that there were high-cost areas in the United States, so they wanted to create a locality pay system. But they also recognized that Congress should be considering a federal employee pay increase every year. So they mandated the collection of data. They created a federal pay agent composed of the Secretary of Labor, the Director of OMB, and the Director of OPM, and a Federal Salary Council to make recommendations to the pay agent based on the data collected by the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
And it's the pay agent that recommends to the president.
It is.
And generally, presidents, it goes in one ear and out the other.
Yes, because no president has adopted the recommendation of the Federal Salary Council or the federal pay agent over time. However, I believe the process itself has been important because it keeps federal pay levels front and center every year.
Now, what about the methodology by which the Salary Council comes up with what its recommendations are to the pay agent? That's something that the administration has asked the council to look at. Sometimes changes in methodology, like which inflation number you look at or which real estate number you might look at, can really have a big effect on the recommendation.
Well, when the original direction was given to the Bureau of Labor Statistics in 1970, they had a very comprehensive comparison between jobs in the federal sector and jobs in the private sector. And they would go to employers and look at position descriptions in the federal and the private sector and actually compare them. So the data was very, very accurate in the beginning. But over time, the Bureau of Labor Statistics was starved for funds. So rather than going out and looking carefully, it was self-reporting. And then in the mid-1990s, what happened was the Bureau of Labor Statistics basically stopped doing the survey. So ever since then, it's basically been projections rather than a comparison of hard data, and it's lost its credibility.
And over the years, too, the nature of the federal workforce has changed. I mean, you hear a lot of complaints that the GS schedule itself, the whole system, was originally established when there were many more clerks, many more typists. They had, I mean, as late as 1980, there were still typing pools in federal offices, 80, 85, before all this computerization came in. And now one argument runs is that you've got a higher concentration of professional people than there was in the days where there were lots of clerical tail to the work they did. And therefore, that warrants a relook at this whole thing.
It does. It does. And I think that makes clear the importance of comparing the actual position description of people in the federal sector, because there are more college graduates, there are more highly trained scientists in the federal government than in the private sector across the board. So sometimes people compare average private sector jobs with average federal sector jobs. That's a miscomparison because of the highly skewed, highly talented, highly educated federal workforce.
We're speaking with Bob Tobias, a professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. And even if you do have a valid comparison. It's not clear the government can always match that pay anyhow. I know a attorney that makes $999 an hour from his clients. Clearly, the government is probably not going to pay any of its prosecutors $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 a year take-home pay. The question is, when you know that certain jobs in the private sector are super highly paid, what do you do about it?
Well, obviously, most federal employees don't come to the federal government to get rich. But knowing what the comparison is, I think, is very important for making the decision. So if you assume that someone in the private sector is making $50,000 and they're actually making $100,000, you have a different perception of what the federal employee ought be paid. So we ought have the accurate data of what people are paid in the private sector, equivalent jobs in the private sector with equivalent jobs in the federal sector, and then make policy decisions based on actual data.
That would be a more rational approach, in other words.
It would.
So you could say to someone, look, a university professor that has positions on three startup boards is earning, you know, as a scientist, $300,000. Well, we can't pay that, but at least we know what that job could be worth, so that the recommendation you come up with could be in at least some sort of a reasonable facsimile of that type of job.
That ought be the way we set policy, not by guess and by chance.
So there's a new head of the Federal Salary Council. Ron Sanders has spent a long time as a chief human capital officer in the intelligence community, then worked for one of the big consulting firms. And he's expressed to our reporter, Nicola Grisco, a little bit of reluctance about taking this on. What's your advice to him as he takes a look at what the Federal Salary Council does and how it works?
So Ron Sanders is a person with immense background and experience in the federal sector. He was not only at the intelligence agency. He was at the IRS. He was at OPM. He was at DOD. And always involved in these kinds of issues. So I think he has a very good understanding of the problems and of the issues. And I think Ron has always been supportive of evidence-based decision-making. So the idea is, how can the appropriate evidence be gathered to make the most accurate comparisons possible to set pay policy in the federal sector?
What's your view on that question that keeps coming up? And one think tank says this, another think tank says that feds are way overpaid with respect to the private sector, or they're way underpaid with respect to the private sector. Is that even a question that can be averaged?
I don't think so. I think that Ron and the Federal Salary Council, hopefully what they will do is try to get a consensus about what the accurate methodology is before they set forth and actually do it. Because if we could get a consensus about what accuracy would look like and acceptance of that, it would be a huge step forward.
And that might help the recruitment problem, because then someone seeking to do a federal job might understand, well, okay, I could earn this here. This is what they're offering me here. There are virtues to working for the federal government. I accept that. And everybody has a much more rational basis.
Yes, indeed. And the fact of the matter is, Tom, that 80% of the people who come to work in the federal government come because they want to be involved in something larger than themselves. So they want to be adequately paid. They recognize that they are not going to be huge earners, but they want to be appropriately paid. And an evidence-based system that would give them that information, I believe, would help recruitment.
Bob Tobias is a professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.